You are listening to Schmimcast, a behind-the-scenes look at Improv Schmimprov, Orange County's most popular late-night improv comedy show. For the latest episodes of Schmimcast, please visit www.schmimcast.com. You can also hit us up on Twitter at the call sign
Schmimcast.
That's twitter.com/Schmimcast. And of course, you can always come and see Improv Schmimprov every Friday and Saturday night at 11 p.m. at the Maverick Theater in Fullerton, California. For information on upcoming shows, please visit www.improvschmimprov.com.
And now...
The show must go! So on with the show!
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Double Dare, back again, yeah.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Still you are listening to Schmimcast. This is episode number 4. I am your host, Nick McGee. We have a very, very fantastic, wonderfully talented guest here. A Schmimprover from the very beginning, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Patrick Hine.
Hello, hello, hello.
How the hell are you, Patrick?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you, thank you. That was quite an intro.
I try, Alex, you know, what can I say?
I'm impressed. I mean, I feel like I've already, you know, we've peaked already.
We have peaked already.
It's time, like, to close the show.
I'm like, hello, hello, how are you? And here we are. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show, man.
No, my pleasure.
I appreciate you taking the time, because I know you're a busy man.
Anything for my old roommate.
Holy shit, we were roommates at one point. I always forget that.
That's right. I have that in my notes. First thing to cover, grievances of the past.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man.
No, that's okay. It's okay. You're a better man because of it.
I am. I've come a long way since those years.
I mean, I want to start off the podcast by telling a quick story about a roommate, Nick McGee. You know, we used to share a wall.
And
you know, and I used to have my girlfriend, now wife, Megan, you know, sleep over every now and then. Every once in a while, we would have to bang on the wall because Nick had fallen asleep to porn.
And the porn was playing so loud.
And the menu would just loop over and over again. So it wasn't even, like, interesting to listen to, because it was just the same, you know, bit of moaning
the
over and over again.
The same repetitive moaning over and over again.
And then eventually when he would... when he wouldn't wake up, and his alarm would go off at least for an hour, and...
I'd be passed out, after watching the porn, obviously.
Yeah. It's hard work.
Splooge everywhere, all over the... Yes. Well, no one ever saw that, luckily.
Indeed.
Hopefully. This was the original house where we started our Schmimprov rehearsals, and... Yep. Nate lived there, I live there, you live there, also another friend of ours from college, Ryan, lived there, right?
Yeah.
And did anybody else live there? Was that it?
Well, Megan kind of lived there.
Okay. Yeah.
Because she slept in my room, but I remember, because you guys kind of lived together in college, and I remember hearing stories about how much fun you guys would have, and then I'm like, I really want to be a part of that house.
I want to be a part of the fun.
And then I moved in, and I was like, this is just filthy. It is just dirty, and
I think the bathroom was especially filthy at most times.
Oh, it just reeked of some kind of special urine that would never.
That's so true. Yeah.
Could never be cleansed. Yes. It's just
and this was before we had animals.
Yes.
I mean, later on, Nate and I would move to several different places, and then eventually Nate got dogs, and so the dogs sort of took over.
Yes.
And as well as the dog urine and various bodily fluids of the canine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just disgusting. I try not to sit down anywhere in Nate's house. And no, I mean, not to get back to porn, but I remember the first time that my parents came to visit our old house, and they had to use the restroom, and they walked out and they were like, "Why is there Playboys in the bathroom?" And I was like, oh, that's my roommate Nikki's.
You're welcome.
Yes.
No wonder your parents like me. Right? They're like, oh, there's that creepy guy.
It's a porn freak.
Well,
we can edit this, right?
Yes, we totally can. I think it's good. We'll keep that.
Excellent.
For sure.
Schmimcast.
If you've been listening, folks, we had a fun episode last week with Enrique.
I'm going to try to up the ante. I'm going to go yeah. for poop jokes.
Already, instantly, the second Patrick walked into my apartment, it started smelling better, actually. Yeah. So. It's good. You should actually shower.
You know, I'm a cleanly gent.
Which you have to do because you like, you're like working out most of the time. Like,
that's right.
I think
right.
Enrique mainly works out with the beer.
He likes and working
action.
He works out the asshole
that's
when
true.
He farts. I actually have a good yeah. story about that. We were at Denny's. We went to Denny's after Schmimprov one day, and you know, this is before I really knew Enrique, and you know, I knew of him, and no, it, I take it back. Let's edit this. Okay. So I actually have a good story about it. I actually have a really good story. I have a good story. We were at, I want to say it was the Yard House, and we were with Donish and a couple girls, and he had a few yards of beer at least, and he decided,
and that was before he got there.
That's right. And then he had decided to summon the waitress because his yard of beer had emptied, and he didn't do so with a pleasant excuse me. No, he pulled out his cock that has a cock
no
ring on
way.
It.
In the Yard House?
Yes. And then he started banging it on the table.
Oh no.
Yeah. Well, I don't hang out with Enrique anymore.
We have to be careful for our Mexican friend.
Yes, yes.
Oh no.
But that was my first experience with Enrique. Now he's part of our group.
Now
who would
yep.
have thought?
Well, we have to watch and monitor him carefully.
Yes. He's like our retarded child.
Yeah.
He'll run out in the middle of traffic if we let him.
Schmimcast.
Well, let's get to our emails.
Yep.
Why not?
Are these actual emails from...
These are actual emails.
From who?
People who listen to the show, I guess.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
We have emails. Read them. Can
just
I read one of them?
Just wait till you hear them.
Okay,
yes, you
wait.
Can read one.
All
yeah,
right.
absolutely.
I'll read the second one. I'm
okay.
nervous.
So if you do have an email, you can send it to schmimcast@aol.com. That's our email. First email. Hey, Schmimcast. You should interview that AJ Murden. He is like so funny. Childish giggle. Or at least like, you know, have some clips of him performing and stuff. That'd be cool. Otherwise, great show. Keep up the great work, Nikki. Sincerely.
AJ.
Well, it says every schmoopy ever.
Huh.
Hmm.
Interesting.
The subject line is Rule Britannia.
Wow. Well, I wonder if AJ wrote that.
I don't know. It came from Alistair Murden.
It did it really?
So,
yeah.
Well, thank you for the suggestion, but I don't think so.
I'm here, so fuck him, because I'm here. I drove an hour to get here. Next email. I'm reading it.
All right. Patrick All right. reads the next email.
Here we go. It says, I created a profile at this site, and then then there's some URL. You can get my phone number there if you want to go on a date with me.
Oh, this is awesome.
Make sure...
I'm getting poontang out of this podcast.
Make
awesome.
Sure you rent a room at a nice hotel with a queen-size bed. Kisses, Angela.
Oh, shit.
Wow, that's exciting stuff.
That is hot, man.
Is this, whoa. This is racy.
This is racy.
I'm a married man. Can't talk about this stuff.
Oh, man. Well, in case the marriage thing doesn't work out for you,
I might call Angela. Yeah.
I'm kind of pissed, though, that I have to pay for the hotel room and bed. That's kind of...
Right.
That's kind of the...
When we both have perfectly shitty cars.
Didn't your car broke, right?
My car broke.
Oh,
I know,
sucks.
Right? I you don't feel bad for me because...
Is there a good story behind it?
The story is I didn't change my timing belt.
Oh!
Yeah, the head gasket, and I don't know much about cars, but I heard it was bad, and I got $800 for it, which is awesome because I just paid $400 for tires. So, yeah, I have a new Civic now, so it's a Rice Rocket.
Sweet!
Feel Asian, and... And I went to UCI, so I drive a very appropriate car.
You
that's right.
Assimilated into the culture.
Right. Schmimcast.
Speaking of UCI, we both went to to UCI together.
We went to UCI, and that's probably the meat of this episode. Like Patrick and I know each other from way back in the day. We both did improv at UCI with the group there called Live Nude People.
With clothes on.
We both did improv, but I don't think we did improv together. Like, I did it for one semester. I think you came in, like, maybe afterwards? Is that correct?
Yeah, I came in 2001.
Okay.
So that was,
yeah,
you probably
I had
graduated. Probably,
I think I had graduated already.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that you was, were the fresh blood of.
I was. That was a good time. I mean, that was really a turning point in my life.
Was it really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
well,
I mean.
Well, let's go back a little bit. I mean, like, did you do improv before UC Irvine at all? Like, because you're a funny fucking guy. Like,
you
are so funny. I love doing improv with you, and I love watching you do improv because you just make me crack up. Like, where does it come from? Do you, like, have a funny family, or did you, like...
No.
Like, Enrique was like, oh, I told jokes as a kid, like I was a ham.
You know...
I was like, okay,
I
cool.
have trouble believing that. No, I mean, I, you know, no, I don't come from a very funny family. We come from a very, I take it back. My dad's pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
We generally have fun making fun of my mom. but yeah, I mean, I started theater back when I was a little kid, and
cool.
I did, you know, community plays and stuff like
plays
that,
and shows.
But never really did comedy, never really thought I was that funny of a person. I remember in high school watching a group do improv and thinking, this is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that they didn't write this stuff down beforehand and practice it.
Right, right. It's pretty unbelievable when you're watching it at first and you're like, that's amazing.
I know. And I wish people could like see the other side of the curtain.
Right.
Because it's really just poop jokes. But yeah, so I mean, my first experience with improv was just, you know, watching Whose Line Is It Anyway? That was a huge
great
show for me. And again, like,
yeah.
I would watch this and just be amazed. So then let's fast forward to UCI. My girlfriend at the time, you know, we're not going to talk about her.
Oh, but, yes. That,
but
luckily,
she,
I don't know anything about her,
excellent.
So I can't say anything.
Yeah, you're lucky Brian Lyman's not here.
oh, let me tell you something.
So anyways, I, you know, being the good boyfriend that I was, I accompanied her to an audition for Live Nude People.
Ah.
And she wanted to try out. She was a drama major, and I was like, I guess I could come in. I don't really want to wait in the car for an hour. You know, sitting there, you know, she had a horrible audition about being a pickle.
Which is why you broke up, right?
Oh, yeah. She's like, you are not funny. We are done.
What? Pickle? You're a pickle? What the hell's wrong with you?
So she got up there and bombed, and I'm like thinking to myself, I could do this. This is, maybe I'll try this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I filled out a form and I got up, and I don't think that I was that funny,
mm-hmm.
but I put on my audition form that I could play the piano, which I really couldn't. And the organizer at the time, Crystal, saw that, and she didn't let me on the team, but she let me on to the pre-show team. So the pre-show team was all about like warming up the audience before Live Nudes came on, like the real funny people. And it came time, she's like, oh, you know, it's time for you to play the piano. Because that's what you said you could do. And I'm like, I don't really play the piano. I know chopsticks.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it was...
You're like, can I be on the team?
You know, luckily, I think she had a bit of a crush on me, too. So I was led on because, A, she thought I knew how to play the piano, and B, I think she thought I was mildly attractive,
mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it might be good for our college audience. And that's...
Not all improvers are the spitting image of Adonis or... Let's say that much.
Comedians generally are some of the ugliest people on the planet.
How dare you, sir? No.
Right. You know, but you know what? I used it to my advantage, though, because once I got on the team, I you know, again, my self-confidence, not very high. Didn't mm-hmm. think I was that funny of a guy. So at the end of the show, much like in Shmimprov, we used to vote to see who won.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yes.
My team would always get me to take my shirt off and dance around like a trained monkey.
There you go.
And that's basically my claim to fame. Not being funny.
Whatever it takes to win.
That's right. Selling my soul
takes,
to the
like,
devil.
If stimulating the clitori of the audience by showing your perfect abs, then...
That's what I'll do.
Why not?
Yes. I have since given that up. But yeah, that's...
You've been a lot better about that.
I always dream that maybe I'll pull it off, you know, if we ever really want to win.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
If we're coming down to March Madness and
yes.
And if it looks like we're not going to win, you know, you might catch a glimpse of the pack. going to lie to you.
Well, we all have that to look forward to.
Yes. But yeah, like I said, that first quarter that I actually got on to Live Nude People, I remember being, you know, just completely nervous, completely thinking at any moment they're going to kick me off this team because they're going to figure out that I actually am not funny. And I remember one of my first shows with Nate, we got paired up to play Film Noir.
That's an awesome game.
Oh, I mean, it was horrendously bad during rehearsal, though. Oh. And Nate, you know, Nate is amazing at just like the patter. You know, he can talk until the cows come home, and I'm just like, I just make faces,
And be emotional.
Exactly. So, I mean, I remember coming up to the show, and I'm like, I just want these people to like me. And something happened that night during that Film Noir that like made me and Nate friends.
You became the improver that
That's
night,
right? That's
it,
right.
It was like you popped your cherry, basically.
I did.
And amazingly enough, with the technology we have these days, we actually have this recording. Let's set it up, yeah.
So it's a game of Film Noir with me and Nate, and the suggestion was Donut Shop.
All right, and then Film Noir, in case you don't know, is a game where either or player can jump out of the scene and do an aside to the audience, commenting on the scene, right, and or whatever their inner monologue is at the time.
The donuts were hot, and I had a big stack of Playboys in the back ready for me. Life was good until she walked in.
She being Nate, right?
Yeah, Nate, you know, Nate is a woman in this scene. You don't need the visual. You'll hear it in his womanly voice.
Excellent.
How's it going, baby?
We got fresh powdered ones.
Oh, powdered like my nose? Damn, that was a chili. Pay for that. Huh. What he didn't know was that I never paid for anything in my life. Unfortunately, my hand was sutured to my breast. I knew he wanted to lick it off clean, lick it off good, lick it off like he licked off the worries of the world.
Nate would come up with these like amazing monologues, and he still does.
I mean, it's like you look at this and you look at him play today, like he's gotten better, but I mean, he's just always been really brilliant. I mean, with this, coming up with spontaneous dialogue like that.
I mean, this clip is almost 10 years old. It was so intimidating to have him be that good at that early stage. So
right, it's not fair is what we're saying.
Yes.
How can you just be just that good just inherently?
Indeed.
My mother taught me three things, it would be this. One, never eat yellow snow. Two, you're adopted and I don't love you. Three, never trust a woman with a hand sutured to her chest.
You really pulled it up there, though.
Well, you know, one of those jokes I stole from The Simpsons. And, you know, the other two I did come up with on my own. So Nate has just, in the scene, pulled his breast off of his chest.
Since his hand was sutured there before, not anymore.
That's right.
It's never happened before. It's unheard of. It's unseemly. It's almost as if I'm not really a woman. There was something about her that made me know that she was a woman. It was her hair or the flesh on her skin.
And, like, after that, me and Nate were friends. Like, I can't even tell you, like, the difference it had in our relationship. Because I always felt like he was like, I don't know about this guy, you know?
Who's this Adonis?
Well,
he's just in this group because he's pretty.
I later found out that I got let in on the team against Nate's will. Nate actually wanted this other guy named Aaron. Crystal, who was the other leader of the group, said, no, I really want Patrick. So I just remember thinking, you know, I'm the second choice, and and Nate knows it. Yeah. And
not unusual, I guess. Some people you have to like kind of earn their respect.
Well, yeah, and
in the world.
For Nate, like if you can perform,
right?
Like, you know, that's big on Nate's list. And yeah, and we've been friends ever since. He presided over our wedding, and I wish I had a clip of that because it was like the best gift that Nate could ever give us. Because he was like, he wrote this
awesome,
beautiful sermon about me and Megan, sweet. And it was pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So Patrick basically had his beginning with improv at UC Irvine with Lied Nouveau People with clothes on. Like you said, you're a performer as well, right?
Absolutely. Well, you see, and Nikki is flattering me because I'm not really a performer. Like I said, I did this stuff when I was a kid, but there was one moment in college that it seemed like Live Nude People were everywhere and they were producing mm-hmm. plays and we were the cool kids.
Right.
We were really the cool kids. And one of the former Schmimprovers and Live Nude People participant, Lindsay Hendrickson, she put on Little Shop of Horrors, the musical, and basically stocked it with comedians from Live Nude People.
Perfect.
Instead of putting like qualified musicians.
Musical theater people.
Yeah, no, she packed it with people that couldn't sing and, you know.
Funny. I know you can perform and you can sing too. You're like, can't memorize shit. Like, well, I can't memorize lines.
That's the thing though. Like,
is it really the real
excuse?
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
Or you just like, it's just too much work.
If
to
you've
do a
ever
show.
Seen me play telephone, I forget the fucking suggestion every time. I have no memory whatsoever.
That's funny. And that's a surprise because I remember we did an endowment game a couple weeks ago where I think both of us forgot what was supposed to be. I was like, I think it's supposed to be a church or religion.
Yes.
Or we're like on stage trying to give clues of something we don't even know.
And I think you and me have suffered from the similar fate in that, like, we both, I think, have such a good time
that
we kind of just forget about the other stuff.
Like, oh, yeah, there's some rules or something we're supposed to follow.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, I just don't like the whole rehearsal process, and it's just such a big time commitment. And that's what I really like about Schmimprov is that, you know, we get together an hour before, we bullshit for about 30 minutes.
Right.
We plan the show for about 15 minutes, and then we rehearse for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it. It's very low committal.
So don't go trying to cast Patrick in any of your projects anytime soon.
Because I suck.
You don't suck. Say if it was a movie and you just had to do improv. Like, it was all just like, okay, so you're in a coffee shop and at the end you have to get in a fight and kill the guy or something.
See, I could do that.
Like, you could do that. Like, that wouldn't be a problem.
Like,
right?
That whole Waiting for Guffman style of movie, I could totally
be on
and
that's
that a
shit.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Like, that would be awesome. An improv movie.
We should do it. That'll put us on the map.
Nobody steal that shit. So I got cast in Little Shop as Seymour.
Now, did she cast you kicking and screaming or...
No, this was one of my favorite musicals.
Awesome. And, yeah, it is an awesome musical.
Lucky for me, I pretty much knew all the words already because I just liked it so much. So that's why I did okay in it. I felt like a bit of nepotism because me and Lindsay were good friends and I got the role over somebody who was not as good friends as Lindsay. Mm-hmm. So I think the clip you're going to see is just the last part of this Suddenly Seymour with
Patrick Powerhouse and the whole frickin' show right here.
All right, so let's skip to the middle of this one.
Skip to
the nice person, man. I
sound really bad.
No, I like this.
No.
He snapped his fingers at me. I text you on Suddenly Seymour.
Not her best performance either.
She's good with the accent, though.
She's very.
She had the accent.
Yes.
Seymour. Please, save me from my abusive boyfriend.
Oil. I need to get to temple. Lots of walls and plants.
Pluto came over and he wrecked my TV. Oi.
Where's Sweepy?
That was my
Well done, sir.
Boys, my
tell me this feeling lasts till forever. Tell me the bad times are clean washed away.
Please understand that it's still strange and frightening. For losers like I've been, it's so hard to say. Suddenly,
Seymour.
goes wild.
Yes, I'm kissing. It's funny too, like, you can't see this, but like, the audience figures out that if they keep clapping, we keep kissing. So like, we just make out for like, you know, 3 minutes.
So in that clip,
Lisa Clayton.
Damn, she just powerhoused that shit. Lisa Clayton's really freaking talented.
She was actually the girlfriend of original cast member Jacob Russell Snyder.
That's right. That's right. And so, in that clip you can see she has a wonderful bosom.
Jacob Russell Snyder loves boobs. He loves them. But yeah, so Lindsay Hendrickson was the director of that show. You know, she gave me the one acting lesson that I've ever had in my life. Reacting is the best friend of acting.
Nice.
I don't know
nice.
What that means.
Yeah.
But
you're still working on it.
Yeah. That's why I don't do musicals anymore. Fun.
I enjoyed that.
Again, and that was a Live New People production, because Nate would do the set, and Jacob did the music, and Lindsay did the directing. There were a couple of other original Schmimprovers in it. Micah Fox was in it.
That's right.
Brian Lyman was in it.
People who haven't seen the Schmimprov stage and many,
that's
well,
right.
Especially Micah, but she moved to New York, right?
Yeah.
She's in New York now doing comedy.
Yeah. The one other person was, you know, she wasn't a Schmimprover, but Teal Wicks was an original live nude person. Now
was
she's,
she Audrey?
No, she was one of the doo-wop girls, and now she's like...
She's on Broadway.
She's wicked Elphaba on Broadway, so...
So she's the witch?
She is. She is. Yeah. She's,
damn.
She made it bigger than all of us.
Oh.
Schmimcast.
One other thing that I'm thinking of, you know, that applies to Improv Schmimprov now, like, we have some of the most dedicated fans, you know, they'll show
that's
up.
That's true.
Show up at 10:30 in the cold, in the rain.
Either sit on the pavement or stand up against a brick wall.
Yeah. And we pack that. You know, I think capacity is like 90 people every time. And it just always amazes me when I pull up 10 minutes before the show starts and there are people there. It is highly reminiscent of UCI because, like I said, on campus, like, we were the shit.
And we
used to fill a room that probably was at capacity, should have only held about maybe 100, 115 people. And we would put like 400 people in it.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, we would break every fire code in the business and open these big old bay doors, and people, we would set up risers outside so people could watch.
Right.
It was crazy.
I think people, they want something fun to go to that's kind of exciting and high energy and just fun. Our best shows are when we're all having fun and kind of, you know, we just kind of lose it. Yeah. But well, people identify with that, I think.
Well, and I think that brings me back to like early improv
right.
days.
Yeah.
And it was just such work to get people into the
audience. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah, you ever do the dumb shows in the window?
I never did
you
the
never
dumb
did
shows.
That.
I always was the porn.
Cool. Oh, you were the porn slapper.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
So we would spend so much time corralling people into the audience that by the time the show started, it was work.
Yes,
and so
it was work. And like, then by the time the show came around, we're like, oh, we're tired.
So like that goes back to what you were saying about the show is the best when it looks like we're having fun.
Yeah,
There were times where it was just like, oh, this is a job. poop joke. So...
I love the block because it seemed like we got so many people that had no clue they were going to see our show tonight.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, sure, we'll come inside and check it out. We have nothing else to do. Oh, we're going to go see some crappy movie. Let's see this instead. Or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're just there to hang out and they're like, oh, $5 and it's a show and it might be funny. And then it turns out to be funny.
That's
great.
That is crazy that we haven't raised our prices in 10 years.
No, I know, huh? I think with inflation, we should at least be 10, right?
10. Yeah, exactly. $5.50. You need to get some like 20 sided dice.
$5.50.
I don't know math.
$5.26 a show.
Schmimcast.
This is great. Patrick is sort of the archivist of Schmimprov, I would say. He probably has more footage and stuff from various periods in our history. And he has a video.
It's very rare footage.
I can't believe you have this. Literally a video of our first rehearsal ever for Schmimprov.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I mean, this is back when we were rehearsing for nothing.
Yeah.
And but I, you know what? Something inside me was like, you know what? This is going to be something. So I had the video camera and, you know, I'm always the guy with the camera. This was the rehearsal that we decided what to call our group.
Wow.
And unfortunately, we don't have tape of that, but we do have some interesting tape of Mickey.
Us trying to play
improv.
Like our first, we're just kind of like messing around, I guess. And we're like, okay, let's play a game. Looking at this footage, I'm like, oh my God, I used to be thin and like... I was like, you know, more. I was young at one time in my life. Like, that's just amazing. Like,
but you look distinguished now. I'm looking at you right now. And you've got the goatee and the hat turned back. You look like a young Kevin Smith.
but like in here, I look like a young person. Like,
roll that beautiful bean footage.
Let's roll that tape, Bob. God, we're so young.
You got an ass one.
Jamie doesn't even seem like Jamie in this.
Yeah, now he just looks like Grizzly Adams. And, you know, he looks like a friendly rapist.
Good job getting him to shave his beard, though. Was that you?
Yes.
Well, my God, I mean, that beard was like fucking 60s bush. Yes.
It looked like the crotch of a 60s porn star. Yes. And he shaved that pubic madness in my sink, actually.
So oh, man.
Gold medal!
So we're about to do product slogans for a gold medal.
All right.
This is for gold medals?
For a gold medal. Mm-hmm. Buy a gold medal. It's easier than winning one. Shit. Ma'am, are you tired of your husband coming first? All the time?
Awful.
So the first one was me, right?
Right.
That's not bad. My delivery was poor, but buy a gold medal. It's easier than winning one.
It's not funny, but it's true.
Buy a gold medal and give it to your doggy. He love it.
Buy a gold medal, give it to your doggy. He'll love it. Just in case. Yeah.
Remember, this was our first rehearsal, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to give you a free pass on that one.
I got to rewind that and play it again.
Buy a gold medal and give it to your doggy. He love it. Buy a gold medal and give it to my doggy. He'll love it even more.
And Jamie turned into the game of toppers, I guess.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know? Take a lemon and make lemonade.
That's right.
That's what we do.
Toppers before we started playing toppers, yes. I think.
It relies on our jumping
telephone.
We should probably do the basic four player games. So the ones that like the easy ones like Party Quirks and.
We could still do one liner games like 185 and like. Oh, it's worse than those.
Give it to him. That was fucking funny, dude. Fuck that.
Attaboy.
That's right. I have confidence in my shit.
I mean, and that makes me, I mean, this is a perfect example of how, you know, sometimes I think that the funnest thing about being in Shmoo Improv is the rehearsal. Because
some of
the best stuff, some of the best laughs, nobody ever gets to see.
That's true. That's very true. You know, what was cool about this is we got to bond and just have fun, like, which sometimes we miss. And you get thrown into games with people you don't know really well. Like, that's something that we can work on, you know, is just getting to know the other players better. But it's hard, too, because we all have our different lives, and then we're like, oh, here we go, we're doing a show with this person, okay, here we go.
I mean, that's true, because, like, I'm thinking, when was the last Shmoo Improv Idol?
I think they're in October or November.
I'll tell you this.
October.
There's a player on Shmoo Improv named Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
Never met him. I barely know what he looks like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's not to say that he's not amazing.
Right.
You know, there are a lot of Shmoo Improvers now, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Never met him. I hope to. I know that he has a shirt that looks like a necktie.
Right, right,
I saw him at Shmoo Improv Idol, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a funny man.
He is funny, actually. I mean, all the Shmoo Improvers are funny, but it's true, though. Like, we'll have a new member, and you could, like, not play with them for a year or longer.
Yep.
And there's some of us players who play, like, once in a great moon or something.
Right.
And, yeah, like, you're going to get to play with everybody. Probably not.
But when it does happen, sometimes it's just magic.
It is,
because,
sometimes.
Because, you know, Nishida will come back every now and then.
And just fucking blow everybody.
Yeah.
And just, then blow everybody.
Yes.
No.
She is a whore.
Nishida.
Nishida. She was a... Oh, Jesus. She was in...
She got in before we started doing Shmoo Improv Idol, right?
Yes.
It was like a transitional phase. We were at the Chance, I think.
Yeah.
So, we did an audition.
Yeah, it was like our first audition, because before that, we would just kind of let people on that were our friends and that we knew that were funny. And her and Ryan Clark were part of that first group of people that auditioned. Yeah, and she's just had the filthiest mouth ever. Like, just awful. And... And just, even when she wasn't trying to be funny, she was just filthy. Like, Jacob Russell Snyder directed this play called Sex, Wieners, and Boobs. And You know, again, a Shmimprov production.
Another Shmimprov production.
And we were all waiting around at rehearsal, and like, where's Nishida? And she calls up, and she said that her vagina had toxic shock syndrome.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, that was her excuse, a rotten vagina for not being at rehearsal. I don't know if that was true, but...
How does that happen? I mean, do you get like impaled by or rammed too many times?
I have been told that it's derived from leaving a tampon in for too long.
Oh no!
So not only is she disgusting, but she's lazy.
Or can't afford tampons.
She's like, this one's not too dirty.
That it's like she pulls it out, and then the crypt keeper comes out. It's like, finally, I'm free. She's like, get back in there!
Shmimcast.
When we were at the block, we did a lot of fun stuff. Like, we had Shmimprover tiles. Where,
oh, yeah.
You remember this?
Yes.
I think mine was, like, Nikki's chicken sandwich or something like that. And Jacob had a tile that was called Slap Jacob in the Face.
With your breasts.
Right. But the breast part was a secret.
And, so the whole idea behind these things was that if it came up on the wheel, you know, your special Shmimprover would do his or her special talent, I guess.
Yes.
Yes. So, I mean, we were like, well, what's Patrick's special talent? And then, you know, it just came up kind of organically at a rehearsal one day that my special talent was Patty McPatpat.
Did we just come up with it on the spot?
It came from a rehearsal. I played, oddly enough, a leprechaun, which I seemed to do on more occasion than not. You know, I guess I was doing something weird with my body and kind of dancing around like a weird leprechaun. And all of a sudden, Lindsay started chanting, Patty McPatpat, Patty McPatpat, look at Patty go. Patty McPatpat, Patty McPatpat, look at Patty go. And I would basically just dance around maniacally until I ran out of energy or I ran into a wall or something like that. And that was my talent.
That's so funny.
Not a talent at all. Something stupid.
This is pretty much all of them were like that. I mean, except maybe for Nate. Nate had one where he would do this
vaudeville or
dance
something like
for
that.
The hearing impaired or whatever.
Well, yeah, I think at the time it was vaudeville. It was vaudeville where he had this choreographed
this wacky dance where he looks like literally like an animated character.
Yeah.
He's like a human Gumby.
Gumby. Yeah. He doesn't break. Just, you know. Yeah, if you were savvy, like one of the young kids at YouTube, yeah, I'm sure you could find it.
I love the Patty McPatpat because you eventually would get really clever with it and you did your little trick at the end.
Right, there was one...
Which we all thought, because you would just like start going crazy and dancing around and like bouncing off the walls and stuff on the floor. At one point, you would come up and it was like you had blood on you.
Yes.
Like you got hurt and we were all like, oh no. Like,
yeah. I had done Patty McPatpat so many times that for every show, I would keep a ketchup packet in my pocket. So that way, if Patty McPatpat ever came up, I would shoot ketchup into my mouth. And then at the end of... the end of Patty McPatpat, I would spray it.
Sprayed it out of your mouth.
Yeah, I was like Ozzy or something like that. And people would be like, oh my god, he hurt himself. And then I would say, fuck you.
So awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. He's just like, bite the freaking chicken's head off. No more tears. Oh, that was great. I love that stuff. Yeah.
Patty McPatpat is no more.
We don't have we don't even have the wheel anymore.
Right.
We used to have at near the end of the show, we'd pull the wheel out wherever it landed, we would play that game. Now we're doing more game-o-matics where we come up with a new game on the spot.
For live nudes, we would plan out every game and we would rehearse every game for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty intense. Because live nudes was, what, once every couple weeks or once every week?
It was every other Friday. So, like, literally...
You'd have a lot more rehearsal time.
Yeah, exactly. So Nate came up with this idea. Let's put a bunch of games on the wheel, and we'll just spin this wheel, and we'll play it on the spot. And I remember thinking, I quit.
You're like, that's not a good idea.
I can't do this. Like, this is never going to work. You have to practice improv. It can't be as spontaneous. And
Mr. President, please accept my resignation.
Yes, I'm done.
This is absurd.
I quit. And then Jack Bauer comes out. No, you can't quit.
But yeah, so
he's a terrorist. Take him out.
Wait, where were we going with this? I know.
Sorry, I really went off on a tangent there. But the wheel tiles and changing it and just how you thought it was an absurd idea to.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You couldn't handle playing a game on the spot.
Right. That was the end of the story. Awesome. Whenever I talk about 24, I get confused.
I think I need to be nervous. It makes me nervous.
That's right, yeah.
It's stressful to watch that show.
It is. But the wheel worked out really great. I mean, in a lot of ways, it was a nice addition to the show. It made it kind of like a game show.
Yeah.
Gave it that kind of quality.
Yeah. Kitschy.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the gimmicks, I think, worked for us. They still work for us, too. You know, we always constantly trying to find new games and new ways to play them.
And yeah, I mean, and that's... I'm always that fuddy-duddy in rehearsal that, like, everybody's being really creative, and I'm at fault here. I will say I am at fault, but I'm always the purist that's like, no, we can't make up games. Let's just play Fresh Choice again. And they'll come up with clips like Inception, and turns out to be
great. I have a little clip from that. I think it would be fun to play. If you go online, you can find it on either YouTube or, I think, the Improv Shmimprov website. It's a game based on the movie Inception, and you can just imagine where that goes. It more or less follows the rules of the movie.
Right. Each scene goes farther and farther into the dream world.
I'll play a little clip from the middle of it where Patrick comes in.
Again.
Which killed me when I saw this. Especially because last night we watched Leprechaun 3. And I was sitting there going, no! He comes out as a leprechaun. It starts out basically they find something they need to incept into the person, I guess. So in this case, it's Drew, and they're trying to incept him to tie his shoe, I think.
Something like that. It doesn't matter.
Something must have happened! Something went horribly wrong! Something made him act out his impulses!
What the fuck are you? What do you mean? We need to go deeper.
Drew just killed Jamie Buster in the previous dream.
Right, right.
I'm not sure why.
Yes, it doesn't matter.
I'm gonna take a picture. Okay.
So at this point, we're going deeper into the dream, and I waddle on to the stage, and the audience is like, what the fuck is he doing again?
He is the root of the problem!
You do such great characters. That's one thing you're great at. It's the character, like you play the leprechaun here. You'll never get me gold.
Yeah, it's really, it's great. And that's what makes Shmimprov great is that a lot of us have different talents.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people like Nate and Jason Booth and Drew can like monologue forever. And I've never been that guy, but I am never afraid to put on a weird face and jump around and just make myself look like an asshole.
I've seen you play like the devil in a couple instances. You do
very,
oh,
very
so
similar.
Funny.
Yes.
So funny, man.
Leprechauns are devils in my mind. They walk and have the same voice.
You're bound in my rainbow, but you'll never get me.
Wait, what? Something about rape?
I think I said you found my rainbow, but you'll never get me gold.
Okay.
I need your gold to save my family.
Okay, well, answer these three riddles.
There's the rape section.
Yeah.
One more chance or I'll rape you to death.
Proving once again that rape is always funny. Not in real life.
Definitely not.
This leprechaun provided him with impossible alternatives.
I didn't fucking dream the leprechaun. Did you dream the leprechaun?
I was eating Lucky Charms before I met you.
Great justification by Nate there. I was eating Lucky Charms.
Always trying to keep the scene in reality.
You are you sure? Do you know what that means?
I can go into the
But had you the power of watching this video, you would see me raping my pot of gold.
Or, alternatively, you have a massive cock you're masturbating.
Yeah, either one is fun. Use your imagination.
He's just like hugging it. He's just like on it there. He's got his mouth open.
I could be giving myself a big blowjob.
Yes.
You don't succeed! Remember when I
raped you!
Rape is funny when you bring it back.
What's that?
I said rape is always funny when you bring it back. Bring it back.
Won't someone help me?
They're going on to a new level of the dream.
Yes.
More complex and psychologically thrilling.
To the untrained eye, that was funny, but I was actually like pulling focus the whole scene while I was raping my pot of gold. So any of you trying to learn improv, don't do what I do.
Schmimcast.
Well, let's see. What else do we have to...
Well, I mean, we can talk about March Madness. It's coming up.
Oh, God, yeah, of course. March Madness this month. Patrick and Jamie are on a team called Double Dare.
Double Dare. Take your hair.
This is a repeat team, right? You've been on a team once before?
Yeah.
Was it last year or the year before?
Year before.
Before we go into that, though, when did World War II the musical come into play? What was that?
World War II the musical, it was Jamie and I's... You know, we were in Double Dare the first time 2 years ago, and that was...
Oh, that's right. Okay, so this all ties in together.
That was...
So, let's go back to the beginning of Double Dare.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So, you did this funny, funny video.
Yeah, I mean, the whole premise was that, for some reason...
What were your guys' names?
Well, we were J Flex and the other P Diddy.
The other P Diddy.
So, we... I don't know why we were black.
It's awesome.
Very accurate portrayal. And then, so the whole premise was that we would dare each other to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then so film awesome. Them, much to the chagrin of usually people that didn't know that they were on camera. And then at the end of every episode, we would come out on stage and rap. We're black, I guess. I don't know.
And you guys have a great little rap song that you put together. It's really awesome.
I mean, Jamie thinks that he is a very good rapper.
Yeah.
And he really just knows how to rhyme really well. It's not the same thing.
As the other P. Diddy.
Yes, exactly. But so...
You had your match on Friday,
Our match on Friday. We won. We won our match.
Yeah.
And, you know, we brought Double Dare back.
Okay, so your first time you did Double Dare, I want to say the first episode... Let's say the first episode of Double Dare.
Yeah.
Was the Circuit City one, right?
Right.
So, which killed me.
J Flex dares me to save Circuit City from bankruptcy.
And this was happening at the time that Circuit City was like, oh, we're going out of business.
Exactly. So we tried to do our part and save the American dream and stop the bulldozing. Basically.
And you have a video of you, like, outside of Circuit City, like, asking people to help save it.
We do.
You're just, like, standing there at the playground. Save Circuit City.
Yeah. And then I tried, you know, at one point I think I tried to sell Nutri-Grain bars for $10 to save Circuit City.
Just to save it.
And then by the end, you know, when all else fails, you just tape yourself to the building. That's basically what I did. I duct taped myself to the building. And
all these videos are on YouTube, right? Or are they on the Schmimprov?
They're on the Schmimprov website.
Okay, yeah. They're on the Improv Schmimprov website. And then the second one dared each other to do.
Yeah, so the second one, the whole joke was Jamie was a waste of life, and he didn't feel like he was worth anything, so I dared him to play the game of life with a homeless person. You know, the biting irony that is that.
My God. And so you guys literally sat down with someone who was homeless up in L.A., right?
Yeah, we offered them a Subway sandwich to play with us, and we said, if you win Jamie at life, you get $10.
Right.
Which she did. She clobbered
him.
Yes,
she won.
She did win. And then so the third one, we decided to dare each other to write, direct, and star in a musical about World War II. And the funniest thing is, it's a completely inaccurate portrayal of World War II.
Right.
And I'm a history major, and we said that Dwight Eisenhower's wife got killed by Hitler, and World War II was all about his revenge.
The revenge of Eisenhower,
yes,
basically.
Yeah.
Schmimcast.
Okay, so this is from Friday's show. This is your presentation from Friday's show.
Just in case you missed it.
That's right.
because we will be going on to round two.
Yeah, you guys won.
Right.
So
this is a little clip. So the whole premise of this video was that J Flex and P. Diddy have found themselves without a working television. So instead of going and fixing their television, they decide to make their own TV shows.
Awesome. This is great. Here we go.
I want to watch TV.
But what happened to your beard?
I want to watch TV.
I want to watch TV too, but our TV is broke.
We can watch the show on the internet.
Good idea. What's the internet?
We can't watch the shows.
We could be in the shows.
Thank you for being a friend.
Hi,
horrible and unethical, and he has to answer for it. We are going to find out who the proper authorities are, and you're going to lodge a formal complaint.
I wish men would have breasts just for one day. Then they'd know what it's like
to be so darn sexy and jump rope naked in front of the mirror. I mean,
awesome.
So yeah, the premise is just us talking over,
putting your own kind of twist on each little scene. Yeah. So
you can always tell which one is which one Jamie came up with and which one I came up with, because usually mine was just foul and disgusting, and his was kind of clean. So I'll let you decide.
That's why you guys are a good team. You know, you got the mixture of
yin and yang.
Yin and yang.
Just because I'm built like this, you wouldn't believe
that I was sent from the future to kill John Connor.
Jamie's.
Excellent.
Yes.
What are you doing up here? I thought you were downstairs boxing chocolates.
Oh, they kicked me out of there fast.
Why?
Because they kept trying to smuggle them out in my vagina.
That was Patrick.
That was definitely me.
This is your last chance. If one piece of candy gets past you and into the packing room unwrapped,
I'll stab you.
Oh, and now we're on to the Bill Cosby show.
Right, right. This one actually Jamie did come up with, and it's very disgusting.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Hit pause there. So Jamie thought this joke wasn't working when we were editing.
Right.
So he was like, let's put this viewer discretion and advised thing in front of it. That'll make it funnier. He was like, that's the key. And I'm like, what are you talking about? That just makes it confusing. And sure enough, they laughed at it. I shouldn't doubt him.
Maybe we should forget about that movie tonight, huh?
No, I'm fine.
No,
I'm
you're fine. Too tired.
No, I'm fine.
Well, I'm definitely canceling that gay orgy we had planned tonight. You can't even deep throat that banana.
Would you like to lay a bet on this one?
That doesn't even count. That's just barely even the tip. You gotta put the whole girth in there.
I bet you.
My dick will stretch you out like
a large jumbo box.
I will take that bet.
It's really funny that you're putting foul lines into Bill Cosby's mouth, because he's like
he
the quintessential
curses.
Like
right.
Clean comedian, right?
Yes.
And now he's deep throating bananas. On the Cosby Show. Oh.
Professor Bumpkin is supposed to be right here. There's no sign of him or his mobile laboratory.
You know what, Penny?
No, Inspector Gadget, I don't know.
I'm gonna try to break my own neck.
This you almost have to see, but it's very funny. Like, I don't know what he was doing in the actual cartoon, but he keeps twisting his head back and forth, right?
We just thought, why is his eyes bugging out? He's looking all over the place, and we're like, that's funny. It's one of those things where, you know, look for it online, because it'll be funny once you see it. But the next joke is definitely an audio joke.
You did miss the opportunity to do a whip your hair back and forth, though.
Oh. Director's
I'm a whip
cut.
My hair back and forth, Penny.
Damn you, Willow Smith.
It's just a suspicion, but I think...
You remind me of a young Alyssa Milano. I'm gonna go jack off in the car.
Okay, Uncle Gadget, be careful.
I'm always careful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
That's what I sound like. So yeah,
funny.
Basically, come. We're performing. What's
It's the Friday, right?
Check the website. Yeah, it's
supposed
the 25th.
To be Friday, March 25th.
Right. So
Double Dare will spar off against the other winning team from last night, which was Dave and
Lindsay.
Dave and Lindsay won last night.
Was it funny? I didn't see it.
It was very funny. Their intro was very funny.
Oh, cool.
They were like Australian safari people, and they talked about going to the Santa Ana Zoo and different animals. And then they came out as the different animals and did little sketches.
Oh,
them.
Cool.
And then Drew came out at the end as a bear with his shirt off and danced and shook
Drew.
His ass.
God damn it.
Schmincast.
Now, would you care if I played your Double Dare song? Okay, so this is your this is your theme song for your Double Dare team.
Right. This, if you missed the show, this actually has Jamie's rap. I'll be adding the vocal part that we didn't get a chance to record. So this is a live performance, so be kind.
Double Dare, back again, yeah. Still stealing hair and raping kids on playgrounds. Double Dare, gonna climb a tree. British make you be
so we can have some tea.
Double dare.
Gonna make you care. Gonna save a bear.
Gonna take its hair.
Double dare. Gonna make you mad. Gonna make you sad. Gonna make you glad when we make you a granddad.
Double dare.
Gonna make you cry. Gonna make you fly. Gonna make you buy so you can love Rosen God. Double dare. Gonna make you dream in color screen so your dreams feel real. And when you wake, real life isn't what it seems. And that the only way to know about where you wanna go is get a blizzard from your Dairy Queen.
Tell her what you really mean.
Double dare. Gonna be the ones that make you break you, fake you, kick you, shake you. Then we're gonna bake you. Then we'll take the ride in our cars, NASCAR. Gonna go real far, driving till we're the first
people on Mars.
Double dare out.
That is freaking awesome, man. I remember on Friday when that came up, the audience was like, yay! Yes. Because everybody just loves that show, you know, being The Office. Did you use that before, or was this a new thing this year?
No, this is. I mean, we've done the rap from times previous, but this was the first time that we did that particular one. So if you come next week, we're going to be doing Nintendo, and there'll be a Nintendo associated rap and sketch. So,
man, you know, old school.
Little sneak preview there.
That's so awesome.
Waving the carrot.
I want that carrot. Give it to the doggies.
Oh Jesus. Full circle. And on that note, we should really end.
Schmimcast. Thank you very much, Patrick, for coming out, dude.
This was good times. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I hope you had fun.
I had a blast. The first 10 minutes, I was sweating a little bit, very nervous, but it's fun. I like this.
So you can come and see our March Madness shows for the entire month of March. It's really fun because we get to do all these creative intros, and you get to see Schmimprovers kind of do sketches, basically,
yeah.
Which is really fun. The final show is April 1st, and then on April 2nd, there's an All Puppet Players show, Improvers versus the wacky puppets of the All Puppet Players.
Always something new at Schmimprov.
That's right. You have any other extra stuff outside of this that
no,
you want to plug?
Like, I mean,
is your wife doing any movies? Or
you know, she's she shot a movie
Awesome.
Yeah, last year. So we're still waiting to hear about film festivals and whatnot. Yeah. So hopefully,
it's in post production or
no,
it's already done. But
it's done. It's
no
got,
release yet.
It's got submitted to they're just trying to get it sold now. So
can you say what the movie is? Or do you,
yeah, no, yeah. It? If you go to freakdancemovie.com, you can find out a little bit more about it.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Freak dance.
It's if you like, it's kind of spoofy, kind of fun. It's a musical. Megan's gonna kill me because she hates when I promote her.
Don't promote me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be famous.
But yeah, go to it.
And she talks just like that.
Exactly,
too.
Like a Muppet.
Dun 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 dun.
Yeah, but there's a sign up, you know, you can sign up to find out when the first trailer's coming out. So I don't have anything to promote, so I always
just
like
personally
to just promote her.
Wife. You made a funny video on the Funny or Die, or you have several on funnyordie.com, but what's the most recent one?
Well,
my
wife and I do a web series called Hollywood Taffy, and it's Megan just being, you know, kind of stupid and funny.
It's
and
so funny.
So if you go on Funny or Die and search my name or Megan's name, you can find a couple Hollywood Taffy episodes. You can find, we did this little short production called The Kite Man.
Oh, that is so funny. I saw that last week and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's
hilarious. It's a spoof of kind of a Hollywood-y story.
Yeah, it's a mock
press
junket gone awry.
It's like, it's a stupid movie.
We created a
Kite
fake
Man.
Movie. Yeah, like instead of creating a YouTube video about the movie, we instead made it about a press junket about that movie. So it's good times.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Schmimcast. Plugging some stuff at the Maverick. We have The Wedding Singer at the Musical plays through April 9th, where you can see the famous Adam Sandler movie done on stage.
Yes.
Family fun, though. It's a G-rated entertainment for the kids and the wife and the grandparents.
And I like it.
Yeah, some really talented people in that show. It's
totally.
Very fun. And after that, The Count of Monte Cristo opens April 15th. It plays through May 21st. You can come see some dramatic French.
Yeah, sword fighting. Nate, I think, directed it and built a set and starred. I'm sure he wrote and did everything.
Get all the fight choreography.
Yeah.
All the sound and music.
I'm sure. I don't know much about it.
Tell us more about it.
Well, it was a movie and I saw it. I liked it.
Is Jim Caviezel in this production?
Is he the knife guy?
He's the knife guy, I think. Let's incept that.
The fat, fat Mexican. He stole Enrique's career.
I just want a fat Mexican. Let me give it to the doggy. He'll like it. Schmimcast. Fantastic. Well, thanks a lot for listening. And thanks again, Patrick. And have a fantastic week, everybody.
Thank you.
See you on the next episode.
Peace out.
P. Diddy and
J Flex.
J Flex. Bye.
And the show is over.
Thank you for listening to Schmimcast. Remember, for the latest episodes of Schmimcast, please visit www.schmimcast.com. You can email us at schmimcast@aol.com and hit us up on Twitter at Schmimcast. It's S-H-M-I-M-C-A-S-T. That's twitter.com/schmimcast. And now, improv out.
Yeah!